We're well aware of the fact that people often face dilemmas. A few years ago, I'm told about a fellow named Harvey who, in his mind and opinion, faced the ultimate dilemma. You see, Harvey loved baseball, and there was nothing like the Yankees for him. I know here I should probably speak about the Phillies, you'll forgive me. But Harvey simply loved the Yankees, and the ultimate dilemma was that the World Series, the seventh game between the Yankees and the Mets, fell on the holiest night of the year, none other than Kol Nidre. And so panic-stricken, Harvey goes to the rabbi and he says, "Rabbi, I know it's the holiest night of the year, Kol Nidre, but you know my passion. You know how I feel about the Yankees, the World Series, the Yankees, the seventh game. That's the zenith. What do I do?" And the rabbi puts his arm around Harvey and he says, "Harvey, that's why we created VCRs. And he looks at the rabbi incredulously and says, "You mean I could tape Kol Nidre?" Now, I'll tell you why I feel that that is a very apropos beginning. Because when I was dealing these last number of weeks and few short months with Rabbi Zephron and Rabbi Bieberfeld, the night for the event kept changing. I literally, if I take a look at my personal calendar, I must have marked in no less than 7 times speaking at the Philadelphia Community Kollel, and I'm not being facetious. But it's because, he explained to me, there were overbookings and different events and multiple events for people to attend to. So I really have to begin by thanking you. Because based on the multiple events, I figured I'd be speaking to just a room of empty chairs. I couldn't imagine that on a Thursday night, thank you so much, on a Thursday night, when people have so many things to do to get ready for Shabbos Kodesh, when they live, Baruch Hashem, in a vibrant, vibrant kehillah and community that has so many events, perhaps I understand in this week alone there were a few. So I imagine that's what VCRs are for. There'll be a bunch of tape recorders sitting on the chairs, and next week they'll enjoy the lecture in the comfort of their car. So I can honestly begin by saying thank you, and it was worth my coming from South Florida just to be inspired by a community that, although they may have many events and many things on a Thursday night pulling and tagging at their time and at their strength, in spite of that, that so many men and women came to a lecture, I am very, very humbled and I'm deeply grateful. And I want to, of course, begin by thanking the host, the Philadelphia Community Kollel. I've had a chance over the last hour or so to meet many of the people, the sponsors, wonderful, wonderful people. But my deepest hakaras hatoiv, my greatest thanks goes to Rabbi Bieberfeld and Rabbi Zephron. Rabbi Bieberfeld mentioned that he saw me last 16 years ago when we sat in a row together in yeshiva. What he's unaware of, and Rabbi Zephron can tell you, is the truth, that on the other side of the row was Rabbi Zephron. So if you can picture the upstairs of Beis Medrash Gavoa, I was somehow in the middle with one great person, Rabbi Bieberfeld, on my left, another great person, Rabbi Zephron, on my right, and so it's only apropos that I should be able to come back to thank the two of them for bookending me in, for perhaps keeping me and allowing me to do the right thing. And on that, I want to express my deepest hakaras hatov, my appreciation, and I think we owe the two of them a tremendous round of applause. The topic that Rabbi Zephron gave for tonight, appreciating the gifts that Hashem has given you. With your permission, I'd like to divide this talk of appreciating His gifts that we are the recipient and beneficiaries of into 3 very crisp categories. Number 1, you know that we speak about the well-known story, it's called Yaakov's dream, Jacob's dream, where he has a ladder and he's on the ground sleeping, and angels, the Chumash tells us, are going up and down this ladder. And there are many explanations. What are these angels doing that they're going up and down? Rashi tells us a few. The Gemara and other commentaries tell us something scintillating. These angels were going up and down. Imagine Yaakov is sleeping here in the place of the Beis HaMikdash, the Holy Temple. And here is the ladder going up to heaven, and the angels are going up and down and up and down. What are they doing? They're comparing images, because there's an image of Yaakov Avinu in heaven, and there's the image of Yaakov Avinu as he sleeps on earth. And the angels are going up and down, as they do for every one of us, and that will be a critical key. They're comparing the Yaakov upstairs and the Yaakov downstairs. And more angels run furiously back and forth, because we're told they're incredulous. And what are they incredulous about? How did he do it? There's an image of Yaakov by the Kisei HaKavod, by the heavenly throne. And that image is the image of the Yaakov of what he should be and could be, provided he makes every appropriate decision, does everything that he should, doesn't do what he's not supposed to. That's his image. Imagine I'm being taken a picture of right now. Imagine you taking a picture. I mean, you don't have to take it right now. Yaakov is upstairs. You could, I'm just kidding. It was a good post. You might have helped me. Yaakov was upstairs, and that's his image. And the angels come downstairs and they say, I just don't believe this. It's incredible. Yaakov, your image upstairs of what God expects of you and your image downstairs of what you could become, ze oto davar. It's the same image. You did it. Do you know how incredible that is? That's why the Torah tells us about Yaakov, Vayovo Yaakov Sholem. He was perfect. He was complete. The image that's upstairs, that which God expects, that which God anticipates, that which could and should be, you did it. You did it. Yaakov, Yaakov. Now, I want to use that beautiful explanation to tell you something that bothered me for years. I think the following will be a suitable answer. Go back a few parshias, go back a number of weeks, when we read the most well-known story about Avraham sacrificing Yitzchak, Akedas Yitzchak, sacrificing Isaac, his son. We find that as he's on his way, and he's about to perform the sacrifice, the pasuk tells us, the verse tells us, an angel called out from heaven. And the angel said, Avraham, Avraham. And I always wonder two things. Number one, does it really make a difference where, pray tell, the angel called out from? Just say, the angel called to get Avraham's attention. Why is it relevant that the angel was in heaven? Now, why did he call Avraham's name twice? I know the well-known answer that it's an expression of chiba, passionate love. But is there another reason, perhaps, why the angel called his name twice? With our explanation of the two images of Yaakov, I think we can answer both questions. Imagine the following scene, men and women, my sweetest friends. Avraham Avinu is on the way to his 10th and ultimate test. This is the greatest trial and tribulation he's going to face. And he's going. Envisions that the angels are upstairs, almost as if you will, excuse me, they're rooting for him. Avraham, you can do it. You can pass this nisayon. You can do it. Believe us. How do we know? Because we're standing next to your heavenly image. And we see what the Avraham upstairs looks like next to the heavenly throne of God Almighty. Because that, as we said earlier, is the image of what you could be and should be, because Hashem expects and anticipates that of you. So they're cheering him, do it, you can do it. And all of a sudden the pasuk says that Avraham goes, he picks up the knife, and that is passing the test. So now all of a sudden what happens? An angel calls out. But where specifically is that angel? In heaven. And why is the angel in heaven? Because he's right next to the picture of Avraham Avinu. He's right next to that heavenly image, and he says, please, you can do it, you can do it. An angel calls out from heaven, Avraham, Avraham, Yasher Koyach, you did it. You passed the test. Just like the grandson Yaakov, the grandfather Avraham, they matched up their images. Because when you make the correct and prudent decisions, when you do the Ratzon of Hashem, the will of God Almighty, that's how you make yourself oto davar, images that in heaven and on earth are one and the same. And why are we opening up a lecture about appreciating the gifts Hashem has given you with this idea? It's nice when you hear me talk about Avram and Yaakov. Maybe the poignant and scary part is, it happens with every one of us. I didn't mean to come to Philadelphia to raise an alarm or to send off signals. But every morning when we get up, there's an image of us, men, women, children, young, old, left, right, it's irrelevant. There's an image of us by the heavenly throne. And as we spend our day, our angels that we create are pleading and begging, you can do it. And at night, after we say the Kriya Shema before falling asleep, do our images match up? You know, it's pretty embarrassing when the angels go upstairs, come back down and say, that was you? I didn't even notice you. Like, change the hair, the out, what is it? I didn't even notice you. Because when we spend our day squandering time, abusing the most precious and priceless gift. You want to open up a lecture about appreciating Hashem's gifts? I will tell you the most precious and priceless commodity and gift God has given us, and that is time. He wants to see how we spend our time. Do you utilize it correctly? Did you spend your day speaking Lashon Hara, slandering others, defaming others, verbal abuse? Did you spend your day wasting time, not being a productive member of Klal Yisrael, not learning, not doing mitzvos, acts of kindness, praying with a minyan? How'd you spend your day? Because it's our job that at night when our angels go upstairs, they're able to say about everyone in this room, Avraham, Avraham, you did it. You did it. You spoke beautifully. You used the power of speech to help people, to build, to encourage, to soothe. You called someone for a Shabbos invitation. You called a friend who you haven't seen for a few weeks. You grabbed in a shir. You went to a Torah lecture. You performed mitzvos. You visited people. You did chesed. Yaakov, Yaakov, ze oto davar. You want to appreciate the gifts Hashem has given us? Then let's begin with appreciating the value of time. I am told that many pre-war European Gedolim Torah giants used to call their children and grandchildren over before their bar mitzvah and say, I want to give you a gift. And you know what the gift is for your bar mitzvah? A pocket watch. Because remember that time is priceless. You simply don't get it back. So if we gather tonight in honor of the 9th annual lecture of the Philadelphia Community Kollel, let's begin by showing Hashem we value and appreciate the gift known as time. People are incredible. I want to tell you about a member that I'm privileged to have in my community in North Miami Beach. You want to talk about valuing time? This man, 8+ years ago at the age of 80, he never had a formal yeshiva education. He learned a little bit, but never went years to yeshiva. And he decided at the age of 80, I want to become a Daf Yomi Jew. I want to learn Daf Yomi. He wasn't able to do it in a shir, in a lecture, so he decided to do it with an art scroll Gemara. His wife would tell me that he would sit. He was, of course, at the age 80, Baruch Hashem, a well-to-do person, a retired individual, half the year by me in North Miami Beach and half the year in Monticello. He retired, and every day at the age of 80, he started Daf Yomi with art scroll in the afternoon, 3-4 hours a day. He couldn't be interrupted. My friends, you know as well as I do that to finish Shas, to finish the entire Talmud, almost 2,800 pages, it takes a bit more than 7.5 years. This past winter, as this gentleman was turning 88, surrounded by more than 200 family members, he made his first Siyum HaShas. I spoke to him a couple days ago. I said to him, you know I tell your story all over the place. He says, yeah, I'm actually working on the second cycle. I said, I can't wait till you're 96. Imagine saying over the story then, you finished Shas twice. A man at the age of 80 takes upon himself to utilize time to go ahead and start Daf Yomi one daf after another, one page and another, 1 hour, one masechta, one tractate, and at 88, surrounded by hundreds of family members, makes a siyum on Shas. Talk about appreciating the gift of time. I could only imagine how every evening, and especially when this man made a Siyum HaShas, his image, Avraham, Avraham, you did it. People value time. There's another wonderful member who lives in our community, and he did not tell me this story to toot his horn. He meant it genuinely, sincerely. I know the person. He works for someone who's in real estate. This goes back a number of months, and he was able to close for this fellow a fantabulous, fantabulous deal. He allowed the person that he worked for to make a killing, and he knew that he was in for a nice, sizable raise. I mean, he could have been licking his chops. He knew, this is it. Bahahi Hayoim, he gets called into the office by his boss. You know, the boss says to him, you really helped me close a deal. I made millions off it. You know you're in for a raise. What do you want? And he looks at his boss and he says, every day I have to come in at 9. Please let me go to the kollel, learn for an hour and a half the morning seder, and let me come in every day at 10:30. That's all I want. You want to talk about utilizing time? Appreciating the gifts of Hashem. Every man and woman in this room, wonderful, wonderful people, should know we can all utilize that precious and priceless gift. I want to tell you what might be one of the most incredible things we'll ever hear. Do you know that on Rosh Hashanah, on the holiest day of the year, when we're standing in front of Hashem, we say about 3 times, I believe, Hayom Yamid Bamishpat. I'll translate that in English. Hayom Yamid Bamishpat means, today we stand in judgment. Now that's an innocuous and a power of enough explanation. Hayom Yamid Bamishpat, today we stand in judgment. I once heard from one of my rabbeim, a life-altering pshat. If there's nothing else we leave with tonight, it will be this pshat. It's homiletics and it's a play on words. Listen. Hayoim, the day, Ya'amid Bamishpat, is what will come to judge against you or judge for you. It's the yoim, how you spent the day, Ya'amid Bamishpat, that will be there to judge for or against you. And what does my Rebbe mean? Every single day is, imagine if you will, a specific box. There are 365 of them. Every day Hashem in the morning when you get up sends you a box. Now, I don't mean a box like the size of a shoe box. I mean the box like you build Bezus Hashem your new koilo with. Boxes that are colossal. And every day he sends you down that box. He sends you a box for the 18th of Adar and the 14th of Nisan and the 27th of Av and the 3rd of Kislev. You get 365 boxes every morning, a different box. And our job is that by the time we retire at night, that box goes upstairs and that box is full and that box is heavy. Because we utilize the gift of time. Imagine at the end of the day, my malach and my angels come down to take up the box. What a beautiful sight if those angels call upstairs. No, no, no. It's simply too heavy. You got to send backup. We need like rider trucks, UPS, whatever. I don't know all the... Just send and send and send. Because she had a great day. Contrast that, I sometimes... When our days aren't productive, imagine going to sleep at night and having that box go upstairs and 10 angels are there to schlep it upstairs and one says to the other 9, believe me, I don't need you. You run elsewhere. He didn't really have the greatest day. But what do you mean? Like you have a broken hand and all you have is your pinky. Believe you me, I can lift his box with my bad hand and my broken pinky.
Every day the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us a box and he says, appreciate the gift of time. Fill the box. Everyone can do it. How embarrassing it is when the box goes up virtually empty. How it's a day of Yaakov, Yaakov, when it goes up full. The good news, my friends, is that every day the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you get another chance. A new box. And that's the way to view Rosh Hashanah. Hayyim! The days, the boxes, 365 of them, Yamid Bamishpat, they will be there to prosecute against us or to be there on our behalf. It all depends on our utilizing and appreciating the gift of time. My father, Zatzal, I'm looking around many people, it's a schus to have Rabbi Hoberman here. Many people knew my father, Zatzal, Rabbi Mordechai Shapiro. He used to say such a spectacular explanation. You know that the Talmud tells us that on Sukkot, there was no joy like a Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Simchas Beis HaShoeva, we all know, is when everybody gets together and they go ahead and there is juggling and joy and music and festivities. There's no joy in the world like a Simchas Beis HaShoeva. If you saw our great leaders juggle, no joy like that in the world. My father says, pray tell, what's the great joy about seeing our leaders juggle, that it was the greatest joy in the world? He explains, do you know what they juggled? They taught you how to juggle priorities. Many of us struggle with priorities. Do I give my time to my spouse, to my family, to my community, to making an extra deal? How do I divide my time? The greatest joy in the world. There's no simcha like when one learns to juggle priorities. And for that we're grateful to our leaders and our teachers. For they teach us, juggle priorities, utilize time, appreciate that gift, so that you can create, starting tonight, a box each and every day about which Hashem looks at you and says, Yashikayach. Mazel tov. You did it. Avraham, Avraham. I truly believe in every one of the men and women in this room and throughout Klal Yisrael, we can do it. The man at the age of 80 started Daf Yomi. A person understands I want a raise to learn an extra hour and a half. We will value time and may we merit that each and every one of those boxes be so heavy and so full with Torah support, with learning, with kindness, acts of charity, that every day Hashem says about us, Oto Davar, because you appreciate the greatest gift of all. Number two, perhaps the best way to introduce the second thing we have to appreciate is with a story I'm told about a woman who led a very productive life. And she, Baruch Hashem, was very well-to-do. She raised three incredible sons. Ah! Barimzach, the pride, the nachas that she had from her three sons. We have Binyamin, we have David, and we have Chaim. When she turned 85, although Binyamin, David, and Chaim lived in different parts of the world, they said, Mom turned 85, you got to give back and you have to thank her for everything that she went ahead and gave us all these years. After all, Binyamin, David, and Chaim said, we only became who we are, the wealth, the prestige, because of Mom. So on the 85th birthday, they rewarded her, and they each sent her a gift. Binyamin finds the finest souped-up car with everything that exists, and he sends it off to Mom for her 85th birthday. David has the finest, largest, most glorious palatial mansion built and sends it off to Mom. Chaim knows that Mom is aging. She really can't read as well as she used to, and she loves to learn. She's so educated. So he finds a bird that has the ability to speak the words of the Chumash, of the Navi, of the Halacha, and Mom can just listen because she can't see as well. Mom gets all three gifts, and she sends each of them back a letter. Dear Binyamin, a car? What do I need a car for? I go from my apartment to the market and a stroll in the park. A car?
whoosh, you know, the upkeep and the mileage and the expenses. Whoosh. She sends a thank you letter to David. David, a palatial mansion. You know, the cleaning, the cost, the maids. I need a 1.5-bedroom apartment with a washroom, and that's it. I keep it neat and tidy. A palatial mansion with 14 bedrooms? And then she sends a thank you letter to Chaim, and she says, "Dear Chaim, the chicken was delicious." The truth is that many times we're exactly that way. Many times HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a gift and we blow it. And we're no different than Chaim. The chicken was delicious. Hashem gives us many gifts. We'll see in the third part how wealthy each and every one of us actually are, even if we don't realize it. But there's one thing he says. Don't blow it. Don't write it off as the chicken was delicious. I want to tell you an incredibly powerful explanation. You know, in a few short months, we're going to take the Dalet Minim, the Lulav, the Esrog, the Hadassim, the Aravos, when it comes to Sukkot time. I once heard a beautiful pshat and explanation. Why is it that for 3 of the 4, we're willing to pay an incredible amount of money? You ever see how much money people pay for an Esrog? Oh, I have an Esrog! I mean, fine, beautiful, you're supposed to. A lulav, boy, the way we treat a lulav, they used to be that you put a lulav like in a little plastic holder. Today you mamash have an entire army tank to protect your lulav. Hadassim, shoo, my hadassim. I keep them, I wrap them. What's up with the aravas? You know, aravas. First of all, like sometimes when we buy 3 of the 4, they just throw in the aravas for free. Yeah, take the aravas. You're really paying for the lulav, the esrog, and the hadassim. Just take the aravas. Why don't you? And you know, we don't really treat the aravah with much respect. And it withered. We'll change it on day 3. It withered again. We'll change it on day 7. What's the pshat? What's the explanation that for 3 of the 4 we're willing to take out a second mortgage? Rightfully so. We're supposed to spend on mitzvahs. That's how you fill up the box. That's how you match up your images. But what's up with the aravah? Why is the aravah shortchanged? It's thrown in for free. If it withers, what do you do wrong? Rabbi Yecheskel Banet of Nitra says something so powerful. You know why? Because look at where these 4 things come from. Where does the esrog come from? Esrog we tend to get from overseas, perhaps the land of Israel. Oh, the esrogim in Eretz Yisrael, end all be all. Where do we get our lula from? We tend to get them from Paris, from different places. Our lulavim come from overseas. Even our hadassim, our spices, we get from foreign countries. You know where we get our aravos from? Many people grow aravos in their backyard. And that which we grow in our own backyard, we tend to take for granted. When something comes from overseas, the lulav, the esrog, the hadassim, it's so novel. The mystique. We're enamored with it. But the arava I grow in my own backyard. Because those that are nearest and dearest, we tend to take for granted. You can't do that. You can't do that. Take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that when the holiday of Sukkot is coming to an end, you want to hear something spectacular? When the holiday of Sukkot is coming to an end, and the Kohanim, the priests, circle the Mizbeach on the last day of the holiday, they don't circle with the lulav. They don't circle with the esrog. They don't circle with the hadassim. All they circle with at the end of the day is the arava. Because when it's all said and done, and the mystique, and the novel, and your admiration is gone, you know what Hashem leaves you with? Your family. Your kinderlach, your friend in shul, and your community. Because at the end of the day, we tend to take for granted those our nearest and dearest. We tend to treat them like the arava. Tonight that's got to change. Because at the end of the day, when Yontif is over and everything else leaves, You're all that I have. We can't blow it with the chicken was delicious.
The greatest thing we can do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to appreciate the gifts that He has given us. Value those that are nearest and dearest. Turn to your spouse. Pick up the phone late at night and call your mother and say, Ma, I love you. And thank you so much. If you're privileged to have a mother and a father, do it. And if you have children and you have family and you have friends, call them up one night and say, I don't take you for granted. Thank you for all that you mean to me. I couldn't exist without you. Maybe tonight we should take upon ourselves one or two people that will include on that Arava list. Now, I don't mean you should call them and say, hey, you're my Arava, how you doing? Not a good idea. But you know what I mean. They're all that we have. I want to conclude the second part of the three with a story. It may not have the greatest ending, but I would be remiss if I went back to Florida and didn't share it with you. A number of years ago in our shul in North Miami Beach, they were cleaning out the library. There were many, many svarim that were old and moldy, and they were making way for hundreds and hundreds of new svarim. Beautiful. I witnessed this story. They're carrying out. You know what you have to do with svarim. They have to be buried. As Shemus, they're buried underground. Boxes were being carried out. As the people were carrying out the boxes of svarim, I witnessed other people going over to those carrying out the boxes. What are you doing? We're carrying them out. We're making room for new svarim. Those? And they start leafing through the svarim. These are great. They're so precious. They're so valuable, these svarim. And I saw the people carrying the boxes look at these and say, now? Now you show your appreciation and value? For 18 years they sat on the shelf, collected mold, collected dirt. No one ever opened them. No one leafed through them. No one looked them up at all. And now that they're being carried out, now you value them? And when I heard that exchange, I was walking to my office and I put my head down and I said, sometimes are we that way? We don't glance or give a second look at people. And then unfortunately, when they're being carried out, then you understand what I'm saying. Then all of a sudden they're incredible. Then they're so precious and priceless. How could I be without them? Don't wait. Tonight, show HaKadosh Baruch Hu how much we appreciate His gift. You want to know what it means to value time? Pick up the phone and tell your mother or your grandfather or your sister or your uncle or your children or a neighbor in shul, you are so near and dear to me. I can't thank you enough. I value our friendship. I value our relationship. I don't take it for granted. Because like the Arav at the end of the day, it's all that we have. And finally, number three. I made a comment a little while ago, whether you know it or not, you're all wealthy. You may be thinking, Shapiro's coming here for a couple of hours and he's telling me about my wealth? Yeah. It was worth my coming from South Florida just to tell you. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, Ezehu Oshir. Who is wealthy? What's true wealth? How do we spell Oshir? Ayin, Shin, Yud, Resh. And what does that stand for? Einayim, Shinayim, Yodayim, Raglayim. My eyes, my teeth, my hands, my feet. Tonight we're all Ashirim. If a person is able to thank Hashem for being an Ashir, for their Einayim, for their Shinayim, for their Yadayim, for their Raglayim, we have so much to appreciate and thank Him for. I once heard a great explanation. We say a few times a day the Aleinu. The first paragraph Aleinu, the last few words say, Bashamayim ma'al v'al ha'aretz mitochas, which literally means that God is the God upstairs and downstairs. And I once heard a beautiful explanation. Bashamayim, when it comes to spiritual striving, heavenly existence, mima'al, look for someone who has more than you and try to emulate them. But ha'aretz, when it comes to physical wealth, and when it comes to gashmius,
mitochas. Look for someone who has less than you and realize how fortunate we are. Believe me, Rabbi Isai, we are wealthy people. And tonight's the night to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I appreciate your gift. You think Sfiras HaOmer, they always say, is just a time to go ahead and count the days? It's a time more appropriately to make the days count by utilizing time, by expressing our love to our family, and by telling Hashem, I'm the richest man in the world. Do you know that in the Aseres HaDibros, one of the Ten Commandments, it says, don't desire, don't covet, don't want what your neighbor has. And the litany goes something like this. You're not supposed to want the family of your friend, the wealth of your friend, the donkey, the car of your friend. And after the whole litany, it says, V'chol asher l'reicha, don't desire whatever your friend has. I once heard a scintillating, magnificent explanation. If you've already given a whole litany and enumerated what I shouldn't desire, don't desire his family, and don't desire his job, and don't desire his car, and don't desire his position, what are you including when you say, V'chol asher l'reicha, all that he has? What else is there? Open up your hearts to this explanation. You really want everything your friend has because you think she has it or he has it so much better? You really think that they have it so much better and you want their bundle? Well then guess what? V'chol asher l'reicha, you get the whole kit and caboodle. It's not a smorgasbord that you can choose. I wish I had that of his and that of hers. You really want their lifestyle? Then you get it all. You don't know about the tzaras that they may have. The pain, the agony, the sickness, the difficulties. I remember hearing from incredible people. I remember hearing from a woman in Eretz Yisrael. I was privileged as she was my landlord for the few years that we lived there. She suffered so very much, and she told me one day in the summer we were looking over the hills of Yerushalayim, and she said to me, Ephraim Eliyahu, if everybody would put their peckle, their package out on a laundry line, and I could pick anyone else's, I would take mine back. And I looked at her incredulously. I said to her, do you mean it? And she said, absolutely. You really want what he or she has? Then v'chol asher l'reicha, it's the entire package. So instead of desiring what he or she has, tonight's third lesson is, you're an usher, and you're an usher, and I'm an usher. And tonight's a night to say thank you. Let me tell you an incredible story about an uncle. He literally did everything in the world to go ahead and support his nephew. His nephew didn't have the parents, so the uncle supported him. He put him through high school. He put him through college. Here was what he did when he sent him off to college. In the beginning of every month, he would go ahead and write him a letter. Please tell me, my dear nephew, how are your studies? Who are your roommates? How's the physical education? The gym going? How's the food? Tell me everything about life there in school. And he would always include a few $1,000 for the nephew to pay for the room and board, and for everything he needed. And this went on every month. And at the end, he would always say to his nephew, please write back. The first year of school came and went. The second year of school came and went. The letters made it to the nephew. The money was used to the last penny. Never was there a letter in return. Now this is starting to get to the uncle. I send the money, I send him everything, I write a whole list of questions. Why is he not writing back? And in the third year of school, the uncle hits upon a plan. Like it is the beginning of every month, he writes the whole list again. Dear nephew, please write back and tell me, how is school? How are your roommates? How's gym? How's the teaching? How's the food? And P.S., as always, enjoy the check and the money. Except, he withheld the check. He didn't include the check. What do you think happened? Two days later, the uncle gets a letter from the nephew. Dear Unc, oh, my roommates, and the gym, and the food, and the lessons, and it's so great and great and great and great and great. And by the way, dear uncle, you forgot to include the check. You know what the parable is for us? Do you think Hashem does more for us than the uncle did for the nephew?
Can we even calculate what Hashem does for us? Can we even calculate what He does for each and every one of us, no matter who we are? To say that He does for us trillions and trillions and trillions more is an understatement, a gross understatement.
And all God says is one thing: please write back. Please write back. Tell me if you appreciate the child. Tell me if you appreciate the child who got engaged. Tell me if you appreciate the business deal you made. Tell me if you appreciate the shalom bayis, the peace in your marriage that I gave you. Just write back. Because God forbid if too long goes by where we don't write back, no one wants Him to withhold the check. I could not thank you enough for giving me this topic of appreciating our gifts, because tonight is a night where we all came together to write back and to say thank you. I don't take anyone or anything for granted. I utilize time, I appreciate my family, and I'm a rich, rich man. With your permission, I want to conclude with one quick thought and an incredible, incredible story. Here's the thought. You know that we're told in the Chumash, Mipnei Seva Tokum, literally translated what Mipnei Seva Tokum means, in front of an elderly person, get up. You know, an elderly person walks into the room, what do? Show respect. Stand up. I once heard a beautiful, poignant explanation from the Kotzker Rebbe. And based on this explanation from the Kotzker Rebbe, I would like to just say the following. Maybe Mipnei Seva Tokum can also mean homiletically the following. Mipnei Seva, before a situation gets old, before a situation gets stale, Tokum, get up and say thank you. You know that after you hear the good news from a CAT scan, or blood works, or from whoever it might be in a doctor's office, the euphoria, the spontaneity of that moment. What right does a person have to leave the parking lot and say, I'll thank Hashem tomorrow in Modim. I'll thank Him tomorrow night. I'll thank Him tomorrow morning. Mipnei Seva, before a situation gets old and stale, before the spontaneity, the euphoria, the excitement, the alacrity wears off, Tokum, get up and say thank you. I humbly suggest when we leave a doctor's office after a test or a scan or blood work, or we leave wherever it might be and we heard good news, by the way, I can tell you, I don't mind preaching about this because I've really tried to practice it, and it makes you feel wonderful. Don't pull out of the doctor's office. Don't pull out of that meeting, wherever it is, in the parking lot. Open up a Tehillim. Open up something. And if you don't have a sitter at Tehillim, fine. Just cry. Cry tears of joy. Hashem, I'm such an usher. Mipnei Seva, before the euphoria of that moment wears off, get up, write back, send Him a check, and say thank you. I appreciate all that you've given me. Let's conclude with a story. A number of years ago in Bnei Brak, we're dealing with a fellow who, when it comes to medical referrals, his medical expertise is off the chart. He was being visited by a fantabulously wealthy American. The two of them are chatting past midnight, maybe one in the morning, and both of them decide, let's go to the Kotel HaMaravi, let's go to the Western Wall, and daven. They take a taxi to get there a little bit before 2 in the morning. The plaza is virtually empty, except there's one Yerushalmi Yid dressed with the Jerusalem garb, up close to the wall, sobbing. Sobbing. And these two look at each other, their hearts are broken. There's only two reasons why somebody would be here at 2 in the morning sobbing like that. Either he's suffering financially, or he's suffering medically.
The wealthy man says, if he's suffering financially, I'll help and I'll be the messenger of Hashem to take care of him.
And the other one says, if he's suffering medically, I have referrals, I have expertise, I'll be the messenger. And they shake on it. They tap the man on the shoulder, he turns around, red face, tears streaming. Why are you crying? I'll help you, he'll help you. No, thank you. I don't need your help, and I don't need your help.
Please don't feel that way. I have money, he has medical expertise. If it's financial, I'm here as a messenger of Hashem. If it's medical, he's here as a messenger of Hashem.
Please, we can't stand to see you cry. I don't need either of you. And he turns around. My friend, tell us why you're crying. And he looks at the two of them and he says, I don't need your help, and I don't need your help. You want to know why I'm crying? I have 12 children. And tonight I made the chasana and married off my 12th child. I just finished the wedding. They just finished Birchas Hamazon. And I've taken a taxi straight from the wedding hall to the Kaisel HaMaravi just to say thank you. That's why I'm crying. I thank each and every one of you for being so inspiring by coming. I'm so grateful to Rabbi Bieberfeld and Rabbi Zephron, and I hope the community Kollel continues to change Philadelphia and ultimately America. But please let our coming tonight be valuable in the sense that we appreciate the gifts he has given us. We will value time, we will appreciate the people in our lives, and we'll realize the wealth that we have because of the gifts that we're privileged to have. And while we have those feelings and we have that electricity, we will all together get up and say thank you so that we may merit the day like that man from Jerusalem of returning to Yerushalayim, returning to the Kaisel HaMaravi, and through tears of joy saying, thank you, Hashem. I appreciate your gifts. Thank you so much.